Welcome to Refuge Radio. I'm your host, Kristen Berry. Refuge Radio is a podcast about the National Wildlife Refuge Association and the nation's National Wildlife Refuge System, which spans more than 850 million acres of land and water. It's part of a network of 567 refuges, at least one in every state. In this episode, we head to the great state of Florida to meet Julie Morris, the Refuge Association's Florida and Gulf Programs Manager. We'll get a chance to learn more about what is happening in Florida with Florida refuges and beyond, and learn about some recent successes for Florida conservation. Julie, welcome to Refuge Radio.
Thank you. It's nice to be here.
I was looking back through our email chain over the last several months, specifically about this podcast. We've been trying to schedule this for a long time. You're a hard person to pin down. Can you tell us what keeps you so busy?
Well, I spend a great deal of my time driving around the rural areas of Southwest and South Central Florida, working with the ranching community and the sportsman's community, and that takes up a lot of my time, I guess. I apologize.
No apologies necessary. We know you're doing good work. Tell us, for not everybody's been to Florida. Can you tell us a little bit about what the landscape is? What are we talking about here? What are we working to protect?
So I think a common misperception out there about Florida is that it's, beaches and Disney World. And most people may not know that the middle of Florida is actually a really, really wild place. And the biodiversity there and the wildlife and native communities there rival, great rainforest or African savanna. So, there's this rural swath of Florida, from south of Orlando down to the Everglades that is still very undeveloped and contains plants and animals that don't exist anywhere else. And that area from south of Orlando down to Florida Bay is where we really focus, and that's the greater Everglades region. And so I spend a lot of my time in this area identifying, our highest science priorities for conservation, whether it's for, hydrological resources or for our iconic species like the Florida panther. And I work to figure out how we can best protect these areas so we can protect our water and wildlife. So on any given day, that's where you're going to find me is traveling in that area, making circles around the middle of the state.
What compels you to do the work? I mean, you're on the road a lot. It takes you away from your family. It's hard work. What's driving you to want to make it happen?
Well, I think I'm a Florida native that grew up in a fairly rural area along the coast, and I just saw the changes as a child and as I grew up. And, I went to school to and focused on, how to save wildlife in Florida in a nutshell. And so I think, when you see the area that you love, change, and not necessarily for the better all the time, it kind of compels you to try to make a difference. So, Florida is a great place and we all love it. I understand people want to move here, but, we have 1,000 people moving here a day and our resources are at capacity in a lot of areas. So we desperately need to engage in land conservation if we want to have viable populations of the Florida panther or the Florida black bear or clean water in our estuaries.
So it's pretty fascinating. You're talking about a part of Florida that I think isn't front in people's minds. They think Disney or they think beaches, they think Miami. You're talking about an entirely different landscape. And to some degree, you're also working at an intersection between a kind of a broad and disparate coalition of people too, right? If I understand, your work is bringing together not only the conservation community, but also it's an intersection where ranchers and other folks are meeting and working in in common together. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, so, you know, the Greater Everglades region, and specifically where we focus a lot of our work, the, you know, just to digress a little bit, the Refuge Association is really focused right now in the Everglades Headwaters National Wildlife Refuge and Conservation Area. And that was a refuge with a completely different model. And that was set up in 2012 as a result of cooperation from state and federal agencies, the sportsman's community, the ranching community, and the environmental community. And it was envisioned as really a multi-agency conservation partnership. And there's just picture a draw a circle in the middle of the state. There's it's a 1 million-acre region from south of Orlando, where the Everglades actually begins, just to the north of Okeechobee, and that is a ranching landscape. So that is the historical land use in that landscape is cattle ranching, and cow-calf operations are actually a fairly desirable land use in that area. It's a grassland savanna type system, and while, you know, ranching might not be the most desirable land use ecologically in some areas, here, you know, if it's not going to be pristine, it's really the second best land use. So that ranching landscape really supports a lot of threatened and endangered prairie type species. So this Everglades Headwaters National Wildlife Refuge was stood up in 2012, and it's a 1 million-acre area, and the service has the authority to purchase 150,000 acres or protect 150,000 acres. 50,000 acres of that has been identified as the service will protect it fee simple, which means it will be bought outright for to set aside for public recreation and wildlife conservation. The other 100,000 acres is envisioned to be a less than fee or conservation easement. And conservation easements are essentially when the government purchases the development rights of a property, and they really encourage a working landscape. But again, you know, those cow-calf operations, they have a tremendous amount of native habitat on there, and they do a lot of, they provide a lot of ecosystem services, right? So they protect our wildlife and protect our water. So we essentially have a 1 million-acre area where 150,000 acres of that is going to be part of the National Wildlife Refuge. But it was always envisioned to be a multi-agency partnership, so the service wasn't going to do this all on their own. So in order to make this work, we have to work with a myriad of state and federal agencies to kind of facilitate partnerships and direct funding to those most important areas, right? So there's not enough funding to protect everything that we need to. So we really have to be strategic and identify what areas are the most important to conserve and how can we best conserve them. And that means working with the ranching community there and looking at what their plans are. You know, when they're interested in selling a conservation easement, they're selling rights to their property. So there's lots of different programs, and we work with them to determine what will work best. And then the sportsman's community is a huge, really important constituency of ours. You know, they have been really a tremendous amount of help lobbying for state and federal funding to protect, you know, our most important landscapes. So we work closely with them to ensure that we are taking their priorities into consideration when we're looking at the best properties for recreational access. And then, of course, you know, this is Florida, right? And it's a, some might say it's a really interesting place. I think it is. And there's a lot of different agencies and environmental groups and user interests that are really active in this landscape. And so, you know, this in Everglades Headwaters National Wildlife Refuge, this is the Lake Okeechobee watershed. And Lake Okeechobee, probably a lot of folks listening to this, even if they're not in Florida, have heard about Lake Okeechobee problems, right? And the problems with our estuaries and blue-green algae and red tide. So there is a lot of interest in this region on a state and federal level. So it does attract a real diverse group of interests surrounding the Lake Okeechobee watershed. So it's never boring.
Yeah, well, it sounds like there's a lot of stakeholders involved and a lot of people stand to benefit. Can you talk about sort of what's at stake, not only for, you know, for those different groups, but also for the species? You know, what are the primary species that we're looking to protect here? And you touched on the fact that conservation in this part of the state has pardon the pun, a downstream effect. Can you expand upon that a little bit?
Sure. So I think, you know, folks might understand that the Everglades actually begins just south of Orlando in the Kissimmee chain of lakes. And that is the Kissimmee watershed. And water slowly trickles down across that landscape into the Kissimmee River, which flows into the Lake Okeechobee. Lake Okeechobee naturally overflowed, and it was a marsh-type system, and it flowed into the River of Grass and down into what's known now as the Everglades National Park in Florida Bay. And we replumbed, you know, in our infinite wisdom, we replumbed the watershed in South Florida years and years and years ago. And so we took the Kissimmee River, which was a meandering, slow-flowing river that, you know, had beautiful marsh systems, rookeries, et cetera, that filtered the water. And we made that a straight line and ditched and drained it. And so all of a sudden, a naturally cleansing system became kind of like almost like a ditch, right? And then because we have so many users in South Florida, agricultural users, you know, urbanized users, you know, Lake Okeechobee supplies the water for a myriad of different interest groups, right? And because of this, the water, without getting too much in the weeds, sometimes in order to avoid affecting different interest groups, the Army Corps of Engineers, which has the purview of managing Lake Okeechobee water levels, discharges water into the Caloosahatchee, which goes into Charlotte Harbor and also affects Ding Darling, and on the west coast, and then into the St. Lucie River on the east coast. And those discharges have really affected the ecosystems in those estuaries. So we have the user groups in the estuaries and on the Gulf and Atlantic that are affected by Lake Okeechobee discharges. And then we have agricultural interests to the south that are affected by Lake Okeechobee discharges. And Florida Bay and Everglades National Park that needs water at certain times of the year. And then I'm probably digressing too much and getting into the weeds. What was your original question?
Well, no, it's great. And I think you're making the point again that Florida conservation is connected, that it's not just what's in one person's backyard, but obviously there's a network there, a connection that connects not only landscapes, but connects people. I was curious, you've referenced a couple of the species that stand to benefit from successful Everglades and Florida conservation. Can you tell us a little bit about the things that are at stake here?
Sure. So I think, you know, the greater Everglades area, or specifically let's talk about Everglades Headwaters National Wildlife Refuge, which, remember, is this million-acre area approximately north of Lake Okeechobee, that is still an intact landscape. So we still have a chance to protect a pretty intact landscape. And those ranch lands there, which support wildlife, also hold and store water naturally, right, which is what we want to do. We want those wetlands, those intact wetlands, to store water and keep it clean. And they also provide green space and wildlife habitat and everything like that. And this Everglades Headwaters National Wildlife Refuge contains dry prairie, which is a globally imperiled ecosystem. And dry prairie once stretched across the swath of southwest and south central Florida, but it has been converted to other land uses. So there's only small patches of dry prairie left in this landscape. And a lot of that dry prairie that's left is left on private cattle ranches. And dry prairie supports the Florida grasshopper sparrow, which is one of the most, or I think it is the most endangered bird in the continental United States. So one of the reasons that this refuge was implemented was to protect habitats for the Florida grasshopper sparrow. So that's one of the things we look at. We look at when we're evaluating this landscape, where are the areas that have the most important habitat for endangered species like the Florida grasshopper sparrow. Other species that rely on land protection in this area is the Florida panther. So the Florida panther was one of the most critically endangered, you know, mammals in the U.S. And in the last few years, they've had a rebound. And for a very long time, they were constrained to south of the Caloosahatchee River, which flows from Lake Okeechobee into Charlotte Harbor in southwest Florida. And in recent years, Florida panthers have been crossing the Caloosahatchee River into landscapes like the Everglades headwaters. And they are dependent on those ranchland landscapes. So if we want to protect a viable population of the Florida panther, we still have the habitat. We still have the chance. But they are going to need private ranchlands that are in the Everglades Headwaters National Wildlife Refuge. So those are two really important species. Sorry, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, so that's a perfect segue, right? Because haven't you just recently had a huge success with dealing with protecting Florida ranchlands?
We have. So, you know, for the last several years, we've been working closely with U.S. Fish and Wildlife, NRCS, Florida state agencies to protect the most important landscapes. And so we have been working on a property with other NGOs and other agencies called Triple Diamond. And Triple Diamond is contains some of the last best dry prairie habitat in Central Florida. So it's one of those areas that if we do end up saving the Florida grasshopper sparrow from extinction, Triple Diamond is one of the landscapes that have been identified where the sparrow can recolonize. And so the Triple Diamond Ranch is 8,000 acres, and it's just a few miles from the Kissimmee River. It's just south of the Kissimmee, a big conservation hub of Avon Park Air Force Range and the Kissimmee Prairie State Preserve, and or Preserve State Park. And we worked to bring in Florida Department of Environmental Protection and U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service to partner and leverage their funds so they can maximize their conservation footprint. Because everyone has a little bit of funding, right? No one has a lot. And so we need to make sure that we take what funding is available and direct it to the most important landscapes. So we've been working closely with U.S. Fish and Wildlife and DEP for the last few years and Open Space Institute, which is a NGO out of New York. We brought them in as a partner, and they were able to purchase part of this property and sell a portion to DEP and sell a portion to U.S. Fish and Wildlife. And we also worked closely with the sportsman's community on this, and they were helpful throughout the process and advocating for state and federal dollars. And this is a very important recreational area to them, and it will be managed as a wildlife management area by the Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission. So recreational access will be provided. And, so 4,000 acres, yeah.
Yeah, it sounds like an incredibly complicated success. What does it take to pull all of that together? Where does the will come from? And can it be replicated? Is this a model for future conservation?
Well, that's a great question, because that was our intent, to pull together a state and federal partnership where funds could be leveraged, and in kind of working out the mechanics of that. So we were really fortunate to have Open Space come in, where they were able to purchase it and then actually do the real estate transaction. But, you know, we have really dedicated people in the state of Florida and with Division of State Lands and Department of Environmental Protection. And the state of Florida has a land conservation program called the Florida Forever Program. And that is one of the models for science-based land conservation in the country. And so we work very closely with that program to protect are really critical areas. And then United States Fish and Wildlife Service, you know, the funding for the National Wildlife Refuges comes out of the Land and Water Conservation Fund. And we were able to bring these two agencies together, and, you know, there's just really dedicated people in those agencies that really wanted to see this happen. So it would have been a lot easier, I think, just to have U.S. Fish and Wildlife purchase a small piece somewhere. But in order to make this work and have an impact on landscape level conservation and hydrological resources, these two agencies stuck it out, and it was years and years in the making. And FWC, the Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission, has a longstanding partnership with U.S. Fish and Wildlife, and they signed an MOU in 2012 stating that FWC would manage any fee simple lands or lands that were bought outright by the service as a wildlife management area. So this is going to be the first wildlife management area in Okeechobee County. So the sportsmen's community were very much behind this. And on the state side, the Florida Forest Service will be physically managing the property. So the Florida Forest Service is also involved, and they have a program called Operation Outdoor Freedom. So they will be providing hunting access for wounded veterans. And so we have the Florida Forest Service, Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission, U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, and Department of Environmental Protection that all came together with OSI, Open Space Institute. And I forgot to mention that Ducks Unlimited has also been a supporter of this, and Ducks Unlimited contributed to this conservation effort as well.
Wow. It's breathtaking to, one, that you can remember all of that, but two, just how many different stakeholders came together to make this a success. It's awesome. It's encouraging, I think, right? I mean, this has to be the way of the future, because as you pointed out, everybody's got a little bit of money, but nobody has enough to make major conservation moves on their own. And so collaboration is the only way.
Yes, I couldn't have said it better myself. So, gone are the days where we just had this, massive influx of funding. And so we have to find really creative ways. But luckily, we have really tremendous agencies that are working on this landscape. And, on a state and federal level, this is a really high priority. I mean, the Lake Okeechobee watershed, this area, this is the water for millions of people in South Florida and agricultural interests. And protecting this landscape is in everyone's best interest, right? Agricultural interests, coastal users, urbanized residents, et cetera. So, protecting this intact landscape while we can, is a really high priority, because, we have a lot of development pressure in Florida right now, and Orlando is creeping south and coastal development's creeping inland. And so we have a certain amount of time to protect these resources.
So let's use that as a segue to wrap up here. So tell us what, visualize or paint us a picture, if you will. What does success look like? What does it look like either from the standpoint of what the landscape looks like, or how it's working, or the species are protected? Just what does success look like for you?
Goodness, I think success would be clean water flowing to Florida Bay and to our estuaries. Success would be a healthy economy in the Lake Okeechobee watershed of working cattle ranches. Success would be a viable population of Florida panthers moving across the landscape, and a viable population of the Florida grasshopper sparrow. So I think, conserving as much land as possible, that would be success. So I can't give a number because, educated people will disagree on how much needs to be conserved. But it's critical that we secure as much funding from our state and federal governments to protect this area. And most people don't know it exists, but it's a really special area. It's our heartland. It provides for a healthy economy in Central Florida, and it provides food security. So, I think combination of clean water, healthy populations of wildlife, and a healthy economy, that's what success would be.
I think that's something we can all get behind.
Thank you.
Well, Julie, thank you very much for being on Refuge Radio. We hope to have you back. Maybe the next time we do this, we'll do it as a webinar. We need to see some of the maps. We need to see some of the images that you've talked about. Will you come back and talk to us again?
Yes, I will. Thanks very much.
Great.
All right.
Julie Morris is the Conservation Programs Florida and Gulf Coast Program Manager for the National Wildlife Refuge Association. She has many years of experience working in the conservation field and has a wide breadth of experience and knowledge. She joined us today to talk about some of the recent successes in Florida, and we look forward to chatting with her the next time. Until that next time, we'll see you on the Refuge.